Welcome to the Warsaw Community Church podcast, where you have a chance to listen to our most recent Sunday morning message. Please take a minute and subscribe to this podcast, and if you are interested, learn more about us by checking out our website at www.warsaw.cc. We hope this message inspires you, helps build your faith, and gives you a new perspective on your journey. And now, here's today's message.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing is made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us.
Can we say Merry Christmas yet? Yes. Merry Christmas. 20 days till Christmas. Isn't that exciting? I want to ask you a couple questions. And you don't need to answer out loud, but what's your favorite Christmas memory? What's another one? What's the best gift that you've ever gotten? What's your favorite part of Christmas? When I was a kid, we had a calendar in the shape of a Christmas tree that had buttons on it. And each day that got closer to Christmas, we would take one off. And you could see the countdown. And I had two special days in December. One was the day school got out for Christmas break. And the other one was Christmas Day. And I remember as kids, my three sisters and I, we came down the stairs and the stairway door was shut. There's a crack under it about like that. And we would take turns trying to see if we could see anything. And apparently Santa was late, or I think my parents were actually just drinking coffee and just taking their sweet little time as the anticipation would build. But I remember some of the gifts I got. I couldn't narrow my favorite gift down to one. I had this great experience as a kid. It was just like this perfect meshing of the rightness of the world. What I mean by that is my grandpa loved me. And we had a special bond. He thought I was amazing. And he got great gifts for me. He always got the best gift for me. Later, I found out he financed the gifts, but my parents bought the gifts. And they never once asked me, "What do you want for Christmas, Todd?" You know why? Because for the last 6 months, I had been telling them what I wanted for Christmas, right? They didn't have to ask. And so I remember these great gifts from him. I remember the excitement of Christmas. And we are talking about the Christmas story. The anticipation, the gifts. And we're back in John chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at the gift that is Jesus Christ, the light of the world. But I want to start with that warmth and that feeling of Christmas. The idea that there is a gift, and the purpose of the gift giving that we do is just to remind us of the gift that God has given. Last week we started the Christmas story in John, and we saw that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. We just heard that again as we were preparing to start. This idea that that's where the Christmas story starts in the book of John. And so we're going to pick up where we left off. Chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. Says this: He came into the very world he created. But the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So as we look at John, and last week Aaron helped us understand the difference between the audiences that the Gospels were written to, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They were written to different audiences, and that gives us a perspective. It helps us understand what we're doing in John. I wanted to take a little farther and look at Matthew specifically, who was an accountant. Well, he's a tax collector, but then he had to account for all his money, and he does what accountants do, just the facts. Right? Just the facts. He lays it out and he presents Jesus as the king. We then see in Mark, it's a biography. It's shortest, the least amount of detail, but that's what is being presented there. And Mark is saying to us, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. And then Luke, Dr. Luke, is an investigation. He really gets into the details. It's the longest of the Gospels by far. That's where we usually go for the Christmas story, right? Luke, because he explains it in a lot of detail, and it tells the story really well. That's Luke, but he's presenting Jesus as the Savior. And then there's John. What John is doing is not just presenting Jesus as King, as Messiah, as Savior. What John is explaining to us is the why Jesus came. For a lot of years, when I would meet someone who would ask, what book should I read? Or maybe someone just came to faith, what book of the Bible should I read? I used to say Mark, because it's the shortest. I now say John, because it's a lot more work in reading Matthew, Mark, and Luke to discern what the why is. The story's there. It's all historical. It's this great narrative. But we have to wonder sometimes and try to figure out, why did Jesus say that? Why did he do that? John explains to us exactly why Jesus did and said the things that he said. It's very helpful. We see things in John that we don't see in the other Gospels. One of those is that in the Gospel of John, we learn that God is love. That God is love. And think about the audience. Think about maybe yourself and your own view of God. Certainly, if you read in the Old Testament, you might get a different sense of who God is, right? But in John, we learn that God is love. In fact, Jesus Christ is God, and he's the revelation, he's the word, he's the communication to us about what God's like. And for our sakes, we separate God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son. That's because our minds are too small to really grasp the fullness of it. It's too much for us. That's just to help us, though. But Jesus Christ is God, and he is the word, and he's the communication from God to you. And to me, and to this whole world. In the book of John, we see that he's the vine, and he's the door, he's the way, he's the truth, he's the water, and he is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And John tells us the why. And so at the end of the book, in chapter 20, verses 30 through 31, I want to read what this is supposed to do for us. So as we're reading these verses today, this is why we're reading them, and this is what it's supposed to do. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miracles, miraculous signs, in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. John knew that the most important thing, and the first thing, was to know the truth so that you could believe the truth. And so they recorded the why Jesus did what he did and said what he said, so that we would know the truth, so that we could believe the truth. And then seeing that, we might accept Jesus as the Savior that he is. John, verse 10, chapter 1, says this: he came into the very world he created, but the world did not recognize him. What a tragedy. He's the creator of everything. He was there in the beginning. He was there before the beginning. Nothing was created without him speaking it into existence. He is the life giver. He is the sustainer of life. He holds it all together by the power of his word. This is who we're talking about. And when he gets here, the world doesn't even recognize him. How is that possible? You think about that, just from the world around us, the creation around us, God's communicating to everyone that sees it, things about him. And guess what? They don't even recognize him. And it's not just back then that they didn't recognize him. That is happening today. The reality is that for so many people, they don't know what Christmas is actually even about. We've exchanged Merry Christmas and the Christmas story with Happy Holidays. We've exchanged Merry Christmas for season's greetings, whatever that even means. Think how commercialized Christmas has become. How many billions of dollars these companies make and generate, and we now have the United States Postal Service having to work all weekend to bring us more stuff for Christmas. 7 days a week, so we can get it. It's commercialized. We've changed Jesus and the manger nativity set for a globe, a snow globe, and a bunch of other little trinkets. That's what we've done. The world looks at that and they don't recognize him. We've changed these amazing hymns and these Christmas carols that sing about Jesus coming and how he was born of a virgin. And we've replaced that with a couple songs about a snowman and a reindeer and a bunch of other ridiculous things. The King, the one who created it all, shows up and they didn't recognize him. Verse 11, he came to his own people and even they rejected him. His own people, the ones that didn't just have the general revelation of who God was, the very people that God had communicated with, had promised them that he was going to come. There's a storyline from Scripture. It's a story that goes that the rightful king had two subjects in the Garden of Eden, and the enemy, the usurper, came and broke that up, and they were thrown out of the garden. And since that time, there has been nothing but this usurper destroying everything good in the kingdom. That's a storyline from the Scripture. And we see that in literature all over the place. How many stories that tell that somehow the king is deposed or his son is taken or daughter, and somehow, and then someone who shouldn't be the king is the king and he runs the kingdom into the ground. And there's nothing but heartache and brokenness and darkness. And then the rightful king comes back and there's a battle. And then the rightful king sets everything right. That's not what happens in this story yet. The story is Christmas. Even the people that were waiting for him didn't recognize him. And worse yet, some people knew who he was and they rejected him. His own people, the creator. I think about that song, 100 billion. Hillsong United sings it. Lyrics go like this in one of the verses. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. Instead of putting the rightful king back on the throne so he could make everything right, he went to the cross and they crucified him. And that's part of the Christmas story. The rejection, the hurt, and even the crucifixion is part of the Christmas story. I love Christmas. I still love Christmas. But it doesn't quite have that same luster that it used to have. And I wanted to start by us remembering back maybe to a simpler time, maybe when we were kids and we were just waiting for those presents. I know that there were so many times when I would get someone to say, it's better to give than receive. But like, you have the wrong people buying you presents. Right? The presents are great, and it's such a family time, and people come together. And but there's also another reality. The older I get, the more I see it. And see it in your faces. The anticipation and joy is somehow now mixed with sadness because you've lost someone. And Christmas is not going to be the same. It's not just joy. There's hard things with it. Sorrow. After Karen lost her mom, we started packing up the Christmas decorations on the 26th. Before that, we'd leave them up several weeks. She wanted to take them down a little sooner, but I love Christmas. I want to stuff up as long as we can until the tree doesn't have any needles on it. If it has one needle, it gets to stay. But now, since her mom's gone, there's pain with Christmas. Your story, our stories, are just like his. That the real Christmas story isn't just about his birth and him coming. It's about people rejecting him. It's about the hardship. The Christmas story is also about what he endured and why he did that. We get to verse 12 after this bad news of people not recognizing him and rejecting him. We see what God often does. And he interjects himself and he makes a way. And this is how he makes a way. Verse 12. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. See, there's a contrast in verse 12 from verses 11. The idea that people reject contrasted with people who believe and accept. In this contrast, there's something that I wanted to point out to you and to really explicate this implicit truth. And it's not just here in this passage, but it goes against at least what I was taught as a kid. I was taught that we are all God's children. So maybe some of you as well. This verse actually says no. It's only people who believe and accept him are his children. So what are we then? We're his creation. Every person everywhere is his creation. And God loves every single one of us and every single person, even those who are rejecting him, even those who don't recognize him. He loves them. But they're not his children. How do you become a child? There's a way. These verses are going to explain to us how we can become a child of God, how we receive his gift. But I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, are you a child of God? If you haven't, and you don't really even know for sure what I'm talking about, listen and then let's have a conversation after this service. And for many of you, you are children of God. Do you know how you became a child of God? One more question. Those of you who are children of God, do you know how to lead other people into the family of God? Verse 12 says again, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. It read it again because I want us to focus now not on the just becoming a child of God, but actually the connection here between believing and accepting. A couple months ago, Denny talked to us, and as he was teaching us, he was saying, you see, there's a difference between receiving something and accepting it. And it's about the distance from our head to our heart. This is very similar. Believing in him, believing in Christ, believing that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, that he came to this earth, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and ultimately went to the cross. And the good news then is this, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. In fact, he died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. And we need to believe that. We need to know that truth. We need to understand that truth. We need to believe it. But we also need to accept it. So what's the difference? And I want to be clear here. It is faith in Christ alone. Faith alone in Christ alone. I'm not saying there's more to coming to faith than faith. I'm saying that there's a personal part of our faith, of your believing. The difference is this, that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, or he died for sins. You can believe that, and you need to believe that. It's part of the truth. The accepting is that he died for my sins. There's a personal decision in that believing. It's not this generic one that he died on the cross. No, he died for me, and I accept his free gift. I accept what he did for me, that he took my place. I deserve that. I should be the one who pays the penalty of my sin, which is death, and he took my place. I'm accepting that. That's how believing and accepting go hand in hand. I think about the truth that we know about placing our faith in Christ. Believing and accepting. And when you do that, and the moment that you do that, you become a child of God. In the same book of John, chapter 11, verses 25 through 27, Jesus, when talking to Martha, says this, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. That's the gospel. You know, we talk about the gospel when we do baptism, and wasn't that great a couple weeks ago? I think baptism is my new Christmas. It's like the best thing. You have people that are giving testimony that they have become a child of God. How? Well, you know the questions we ask them when we're in the water, right? The questions are very simple and are right to the heart of what this verse says, what this verse is talking about. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? Yes. Do you believe that he was buried and rose again on the third day? Yes. Have you accepted him as your Savior? Yes. That's the gospel. That's what this verse is talking about, believing and accepting. And when we do that, we become a child of God. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And we often misunderstand that new life. we tend to think and imagine that as Christ came and he died to make us bad people into good people. That's not why he came. He didn't come to make bad people good people or kind of good people better people. He came to give us new life. Jesus said in chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. There is only one way. There is only one way, and that is through the death of Jesus Christ and the payment that he made for us, the payment for our sins by shedding his blood and giving his life. It is only one way to the Father. It's the same way we become a child of God. It's the same way we have our sins forgiven. It's the same way that we have eternal life. Believing and accepting. Verse 13. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Rebirth. Just in the same way that you were born into your family, you have to be born into the family of God. If we just kept going and went over to chapter 3 of this same book, the book of John, the Gospel of John, we would hear Nicodemus, who was a religious leader, coming to Jesus and asking about this because he didn't really understand it. When he said, Jesus said, you have to be born again. What? You have to be born again. You have to be born again. Not a physical birth, but a spiritual birth. That's how you're born into the family of God. And that leads us up to the most famous verse on salvation and the gospel that there is in verse 3:16. For this is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Have eternal life. How? By believing. Verse 17 says this, God sent his Son, part of the Christmas story, into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Maybe someday we'll have a whole sermon on the not judging. Like, being Christ-like is not judging the world. Being more interested in saving the world than judging the world. That's another message. But to save the world through him. This is why he came, not to judge, but to save. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. Jesus Christ came, lived his life, and he went to the cross to take our sin, to take my sin. The question is, do you believe that? And have you accepted it? If you have, then you have become a child of God. You've received that gift. I wanted to end just with Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and then a verse from 2 Corinthians. It says this. You probably know this verse, but it's amazing. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Isn't that amazing? It's not what we do. It's through faith. It's through believing and accepting what Christ has already done for us. That's how we become a child of God. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 talk about this gift. The Christmas story is about this incredible gift. I want to read a verse to you. It's in the King James Version. It's 2 Corinthians 9, 15. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. That was on the wall of the church that I went to when I was a kid. I never knew what it really meant. I didn't know that was part of the Christmas story and the gift that Jesus Christ is. And it's a proclamation. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Another version says indescribable gift. You can't describe it. It's too wonderful for words. That's the gift that we have because of Christmas. That's what Christmas is about. And sadly, part of the reason the world doesn't recognize Him, the Savior, because we don't live out what we've received, and we don't share that gift with others. We get so consumed, just like the world. With the consumerism, with the gifts. I wanted to encourage you and I wanted to challenge you as you go about this Christmas season to, one, go about it differently because you've received the gift of Jesus Christ. You've received the gift of eternal life. You've received the gift of being His child. So as you're frantically in a store, maybe fighting someone for some whatever you're fighting for, or you're online shopping, don't forget the gift that you already have. And don't forget you have the opportunity at Christmas to share that gift with others. To share that gift with others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this amazing gift of Your Son. Not only His birth, but His life and ultimately His death. Thank You for this gift. God, I pray You would help us to share that gift, that we would share that with those who desperately need that, that we actually might know what it means that it's better to give than receive. Lord, I also pray for those that Christmas is sad for and difficult. People who've experienced loss and hurts. Lord, You suffered in so many ways. You suffered the way that we suffer. And You know that pain. And so, God, I'm asking You to help those who are experiencing that pain. And if You don't give them joy, Lord, give them peace. And may the thought of being Your child be the comfort that they need. Lord, we are so thankful, and we just pray that You would help us to focus on You, that we wouldn't be caught up in the way that the world is distracted. Lord, we are so grateful for Your Son and that He died for us. And that's why we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you were encouraged by today's message, be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. For more information about the church or help taking next steps, please visit us at warsaw.cc or follow us on any of our social media channels. Thanks for joining us for this message and for listening to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast.